Praise God, and he's going to be with us here this morning. And if you'll open up your heart today, God will touch you today. God will touch you today. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. Praise God. If you want the blessings of the Lord in your life, it doesn't matter what you have to do. And I want to say that with great emphasis here this morning. It really doesn't matter what you have to do or how great of lengths you will have to go to get some things out of your life, out of your house, out of who you are, so that there will be room for the Lord to come in. Because everybody else had a lot of other things that were filling up their lives. They had a lot of other things that were filling up their rooms. And when the Lord came, he got a no vacancy sign. But there was one place that said vacancy, only one place, and it was a little cow barn. It was maybe a cave in the side of a hill with a place where they could lay a baby, and he took it because the door was opened. Amen. I want to preach this morning the need for vacancy in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for your presence this morning. I'm asking you today to help us. I'm asking you, Lord, to minister to our hearts today. Touch each and every one of us in a mighty, mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I don't know if you have noticed, but we live in a very, very busy world. Especially around the holiday time. It seems like it is a very busy time. We've been out doing a little bit of shopping, and when we went out, I thought, my Lord, I didn't know there were that many cars in this whole city. And it was packed out at the malls, and it was quite a busy, busy time. I'm glad that it's almost over. Praise God. Well, some of you don't agree with that, but that's all right. And, you know, our world is really not much different than it was in the time of Mary and Joseph. In fact, there was a situation that had developed here because of the edict of some politician somewhere in a central location that said, y'all are going to have to do this. And when the law came down, everybody sighed and thought, oh, God, we've got to do this. We've got this tax, another tax that is laid upon us, and it wasn't just an income tax or something along that line. The actual world was being taxed. Amen. The whole world was being taxed, and it was not just a tax that you sent in on April 15th, but it was a tax that you had to pay at your hometown. You had to travel back to your home in order to pay the taxes that somebody wanted in a city called Rome that was way far away. They didn't have any computers or mail system like we have today. They did have a type of mail system, but they didn't have anything that was even close to what we have today, which really makes our situation even a little bit more precarious. But they levied a tax on every human being in the face of the earth. That is an undertaking when they did not have the computers and they didn't have automobiles and they didn't have a way to accomplish this except either to walk to your hometown or to get on some sort of an animal or some sort of a cart. And slowly, every day, you made your way to your hometown. And then after all of that, that difficult traveling and all of this, you had to deposit your hard-earned money into somebody's pocket, turn around, and make that long, hard journey all the way back to where your home is. Amen. And this is exactly what was happening here at this particular point in time. And so much had to be done, and so many preparations had to be made in order to accomplish the edict of this ruler of Rome. Amen. Along with everyone who was traveling, this young couple began their journey, and they went back to their hometown of Bethlehem. I'm sure that there was not a lot of joy here. In fact, there was probably a lot of grief of mind. And to travel so far and to have to give our hard-earned money, and not only that, to travel with a wife who is great with child, who knows if maybe halfway down the road that she would deliver her child, and what a dangerous situation that was for them. A very, very dangerous situation it was. Very few of us would be willing to do that, to take that kind of a journey, to travel that length or to that distance with such danger of harm coming to your wife, your new wife, and to take that risk. Amen. But here they were. And it is really no different today when you go out and you see everybody going here and going there and doing this and doing that. Everybody is in such a hurry today. Amen. And it was really like the system that they were in today, or in that day. Much of what we work for today, too much of what we work for, maybe I get an amen on this one, goes to pay taxes to a corrupt and a broken system in Washington. Well, praise the Lord. I said it, and I believe it this morning. Amen. And yet we have a commandment from the Lord that we are to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render to God that which is God's. Amen. I think it's amazing this morning that there are those who are willing to give to Caesar, but not willing to give to God. Who's greater than Caesar? God's greater than Caesar. Who's greater than our president? God's greater than our president. Well, praise the Lord. His country is so much greater than the country that we live in today. And we do have a great country. I'm thankful for America. Amen. And some other countries in the world are the same way. In fact, I believe all of them are. We are coming up to a tremendously dangerous time in the world today, financially, not only financially, but in other ways. We are really on the brink of anarchy in our world. And lest you pass that off as just a statement by some person, I want you to know, friend, that we are very, very close to a collapse of the system that we have known for so very, very long. All you have to do is a little bit of surface reading, and you will find that the European economy is on the brink of total collapse. Amen. They are trillions of dollars in debt. Their debt reaches to America, and I read the other day that it is in the neighborhood of some $10 trillion that they are connected to us with. And yet, in the middle of all of this, in the middle of all of this corruption, in the midst of all corrupt politicians, corrupt leaders that were in high places, channeling all the way down from the top, all the way down to the very bottom, to the local level. There was this corruption. There was this rulership and this governmental system that was in power at the time of Joseph and Mary. Amen. And yet, somewhere in the midst of all of the movement, in the midst of all the exchange of money and all of the things that were going on at this particular time in heaven, there was a plan from God for the world. Well, praise the Lord. Folks, it is very important today that we don't get our mind off of the focus of what God is trying to do in this world today. It is so easy to get caught up into politics for some of us. It is so easy for us to get caught up into our jobs for some of us. It is so easy for us to get caught up with our life for this and for that and for the other to begin to fill up our life until when the Lord comes and begins to knock at our door, we put out a no vacancy sign. Don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the resources because I've got so many other things that are going on in my life. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Oh, it's getting quiet. Don't get quiet on me here this morning. Amen. I've got a message for us here today. This plan of God involved the birth of a Savior. And the Bible said he would be Christ the Lord. And he would bring salvation to his nation. He would bring deliverance to his people. He would come with the great plan of God Almighty. And so we know that this was the will of God. The prophets had prophesied about it. One of the simple truths that is brought out here is that through all of this, he could bring no salvation. He could bring no blessing to anyone who was not willing to accept it. Here's the Savior of the world. Oh, my. I'll tell you what, I would love to have opened the door of my house and let them in so that the Christ child could be born in my house. What a blessing. What a blessing. But they didn't recognize him as the Christ child. They didn't recognize him as that. They recognized just a young couple and a poor young couple. Just trying to pass through and then go on. Probably was not able to pay as much rent as others would be able to pay, and so they were shoved aside. Amen. And here was a generation of people that were busy. They had so much that was going on. They had to prepare the rooms. They had to get the signs freshened up and maybe prepare food for those and prepare some hay and whatever for the animals that they were using as they were passing along. And so much had to be done. Unless they had a desire to receive the Lord, nothing at all was going to happen in their life. Nothing at all was going to happen in their home because they had no vacancy. There was no vacancy. And friend, I'll tell you what, That's exactly where our world is at today. Our world is going headlong into destruction and to an eternity without God. Amen. As they approach the city of Bethlehem, the young couple begin to see a problem develop. And great plans are always things that at first don't seem to be that great of an idea. Here is the Messiah of the world wrapped up in a little poor peasant girl and a poor young carpenter man. And they're going from house to house and they're looking for someone to receive them. They're looking for someone to say, why, you're so welcome here. Why, you poor girl, come on in. We're going to help you. How many of us today, if we knew that someone was homeless and someone was in need, some righteous couple that loved God and she was with child and about to have a child, how many of us would say, hey, I got a shed out back. You can stay in the shed out back. Most of us, probably all of us, I hope all of us, would say that's not good enough in this situation. Some of us would probably say, I'll sleep on the floor and you can have our room. Praise the Lord, because of compassion and because of concern for another human being that's in great trouble here. But, excuse me, they knocked on one door and they said, I'm sorry, we don't have any room for you. But sir, my wife, she's going to be having a child any hour now. And we really need a place to stay. Listen, I told you, we don't have any room for you. And he dropped his head. And they went down the street to another sign that said inn, and they knocked on that door. And after probably several knockings of doors, they began to be afraid. Maybe Joseph was fearing in his heart and thinking, now what in the world am I going to do? Here we have this situation. I don't know what we're going to do. Is my wife going to have this child on the street? Are we going to have to find a back alley somewhere? Are we going to have to go through some shame here as this child is born? And as the angel said, that was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And we don't have any place to go. Nobody is going to open a door for us. I want you to see this morning the true situation that they were in, the dilemma that they were in. There was no place. Amen. Absolutely no place. And then it began to settle on them. And they began to think, now what are we going to do? And finally, maybe it wasn't even an inn. Maybe it was just a house. But they knocked on a door. Praise God. Now think about it this morning. God in his wisdom and God in his power today could have moved situations around so that the best inn in the city would have vacancy. Right? He could have done that. And in fact, if you and I were God, oh, I'm so glad we're not God this morning. Praise the Lord. But if you were God and you were about to have a son that was born and you could do anything you wanted to do, you could move people around, you could shuffle people around, and you could open a door here where your son, your only begotten son, would be born into the world. It would be no problem at all for God to work out a couple of real quick miracles here. And when they knocked on the door, oh, we've been waiting for you. Amen. And the Lord has already spoken to us, and we've saved the best room for you. But God did not do that. I want you to think about that this morning. Amen. The Lord didn't do that because there is a profound and awesome truth in the birth of the Savior and of this holiday season that we're rejoicing in. And that is that God will never violate our will. God will never force us to do something that we don't want to do. Amen. God will never tell us and force us to go against our will. God has given you and I a power, and it is a power to open a door, and it is a power to shut a door. We can hang out a sign that says vacancy, or we can hang out a sign that says no vacancy, and God will not force himself upon us. Somebody said one time that God is a gentleman. I'll tell you today, he is like a dove. He is very meek and mild. Amen. And will not force himself upon anyone. But let's just leave that for a moment this morning. And let's say this, that God is still looking for a house that has a vacancy sign. Praise the Lord. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking for a place to stay. And he's still knocking on the door of the hearts of men and women, looking for a place to come in and to work his miracle salvation. That salvation will be born in that home. That salvation will be birthed in that place. And it doesn't have to be a fancy palace. It doesn't have to be a middle-class home. It can be a stable. It can be the poorest of poor. But if there's a vacancy sign, that's where he's going to go. Well, praise the Lord. He's not interested in making a big show in the high places of society. He's just looking for a heart. He's looking for a vacancy sign. He's looking for someone who will say yes. Amen. You can come in and have your way in this house. Is there anybody here this morning that feels that way about the Lord? I want to open my door and let Jesus have his way in this house. Amen. And rest assured that something is going to come into our lives. And whatever is in us is what we have opened the door to allow in. This is simple, I know, but it's very profound. Because of our power of choice, because of the fact that God has given us the power to choose what we want to do, amen, we can allow anything into our lives that we want to let in. We can let the world in. We can let the Lord in. We can let anything into our lives that we want to. And herein today is a very dangerous thing that somewhere in the apostolic movement, we have come to the place where we believe we can have a Holy Ghost revival and our hearts are full of the world. I want to tell you, my friend, it's an impossibility. It will not happen. Somebody's got to make up their mind. I'm going to take the world and get it out of my life, and I'm going to open the door for the Lord. And God will never force us to do that. But it has to be a decision of our will. Amen. We, in reality this morning, we have a tremendous power within us. We have a tremendous power to say yes or to say no. And the God of heaven will never violate that decision. We can choose this morning. I could choose this morning to go rob a bank after church. Don't worry, I'm not going to. And God would never stop me. God would not stop me from doing that because It is given to you and I, this power of choice. We can choose. God gave it to Adam and Eve. He gave them the power of choice to choose what they were going to do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. We can be like them and say yes to that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, praise God. To say yes to the flesh and to the world is the power that we have today. We can open up our hearts today. Oh, God. Are y'all with me here this morning? We have the power today to open up doors and let things into our lives. We have the power, and it is so available today. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil is really the internet today. And you can get on there and you can find anything in the world that you want to find. You can find immorality. You can find ungodliness. You can find pornography. You can find witchcraft sites. You can find, you can find anything and everything you want to find. And some have rejoiced about it and said, oh, this is information. This is information that we need. But friend, I want to tell you, eternity is calling. We don't have a whole lot of time left, and we don't have time to be opening doors and going through doors into pornography and into ungodliness and into worldly ideas and thoughts and all of this. Well, somebody ought to say amen this morning. Praise God, because to the extent that you open those doors and you begin to let the world into your life, God will begin to diminish in your heart, because he will not force himself into your house. He will not come in and take over your house unless you let him. But I want to tell you, there's something about the devil. He's a lot different than God. He comes in. Amen. Like somebody said one time, he's like the relative that comes over to visit for a few days and never leaves. And then finally you leave and they take over your house. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. I'll tell you what, we don't need that. We don't need that kind of an influence in our family. Oh, God, help us. One little bit of pornography can change a young man's heart for the rest of his life. Oh, God, I don't know why I'm preaching this here this morning, but I want to tell you, friend, God's looking for somebody who'll put a vacancy sign on their home and say, God, we want you to come in. God, we want you to take over this house. God, we want you to come in here and tell us how to live our lives. Amen, because your way is the right way. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. I want you to know today, friend, that God is looking for a no vacancy sign. I know this is a very simple message here this morning. But we have the power to allow anything into our spirit, and God will never stop us from making that decision. Amen. If we decide to let the Lord in, if we open the door for the Lord, there is nothing that can take him out of our house. And if we open the door to the world and we let the world and the flesh and the lust of the flesh, the Bible talks about it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But when we let that in, I want you to know there is no power in this world that will come and remove it out of your house unless you allow it to happen. Oh, God, help us here this morning. And so in reality, we're not victims here this morning of circumstances. Some people have come to the place where they feel like they're a victim of circumstances. Well, I'm a victim here, and I was treated this way, and I was treated that way. And so therefore, I'm leaving God. Listen, friend, you're never going to leave God because somebody else made you leave God. There's only one way that anybody leaves God, and that's when they open the door and they make a personal decision to do that. Because if you make up your mind this morning and you choose to serve God, all of hell will come against you and you'll still live for God. It doesn't matter what comes against you if you got your mind made up. Oh, somebody help me here this morning. Amen. We got to get it all in here on Sunday morning today. Amen. If you got your mind made up today to serve God, no devil or devils in hell and no person or persons will be able to make you stop unless you allow it to happen. Because you have the power to open a door and you have the power to shut a door. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. But I want you to know on a positive note here that if you open the door and let the Lord in, there is absolutely nothing that can take him out. Absolutely nothing. We are secure in Jesus Christ. Amen. If we decide to separate ourselves from the world, then there is no way that the world will ever be able to get into your life. Somebody listening to me here this morning, amen, but it's when we begin to flirt with the world. Amen, it's when we begin to kind of dance around the edges and we begin to look at things and we open up a door and let a little bit in. Amen, to the extent that you let it in, there's only so much room in your life. And when you let a little thing in, all of a sudden a little bit of God goes out. And then as you allow another little bit in, a little more of God goes out. That's exactly how it happens, friend. But it's not because of anything or of anybody. It is simply because of a door that has been opened. And there's only one person that has the authority and the power to open a door and shut a door. And that is you. You're the only one that has the authority to do that. If you want to live for God, nobody can stop you from living for God. If you want to live for the world, all the angels of heaven will not convince you. All the preacher and preaching in the world will not convince you to live for God. Amen. Because it is a power that God has given to you as an individual. Matthew 12 and verse 43 this morning. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be this way, but this generation Jesus was referring to was wicked. And so they opened themselves up to wickedness. Amen. Let's look at this here for a quick moment this morning. How did the house become clean? When the spirit is gone out of a man, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh in dry places. An unclean spirit. How does a house become clean? How does spiritually the unclean spirit go out of a man? We know that it's the power of God that delivers us from unclean spirits. We know that it is only by the hand of God that these things can be accomplished. But my friend, there is no way that God will do that unless you ask him to do that. And so when it really comes down to it, the unclean spirit is gone out of a man because the man said, I want you, Lord, to come and take this unclean spirit out of my house. I am closing the door to this unclean spirit. Well, somebody ought to help me this morning. I am closing the door to this unclean spirit, and you're not welcome in this house anymore. I'm going to church. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live for God. Friend, I want to tell you, we talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about the power of repentance here this morning. Because when a person repents and they ask God to forgive them, God backs that person up. Well, praise the Lord. I said God backs that person up. And let me go a step further here this morning. When a church gets together and says, Brother Charlie, we're going to have revival around here. There's not a devil in hell that'll be able to stop a revival because we have opened the door for a revival. And we're not going to let anything shut that door. We're not going to let anything come in because we have the power of choice. Anybody want to have a revival? Anybody want to have a move of God? Hey man, it's not a hope so, maybe so pie in the sky. What you have to do is determine in your heart that you're going to have this. And God will back you up. You can be seated this morning. God will back you up. Well, praise the Lord. It was cleansed. This house was cleansed through repentance. And repentance is a decision. Repentance is the exercise of the power of choice. It is an individual that says, I am going to turn my life to God. You're walking away from God. Repentance really means an about face. It's the word metanoeo in the Greek, and it means to turn. It means, it really is a military term that means an about face. Amen. We are walking away from God, and we hear the preaching, and God is moving on us. Yes, God is involved in this, and God tries to help as much as he can. But friend, he knows that ultimately it comes down to our individual decision. And we decide, I'm not going this way anymore. I'm leaving the world behind, and we turn, and we begin to walk toward God. You know what? Some of us have walked so far away from God that it took us a long time to get back to God. I don't know about you, but when I repented of my sins, I was way out there in the darkness. And when I turned, the light wasn't so bright. It was way off in the distance. But as I turned and I began to walk, the light got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Amen. And every time I've recommitted myself to God, God was right there to back me up. God was right there to help me. Amen. This is the exercise of the power of choice. That's what repentance is. And that's how that unclean spirit was kicked out. Amen. Do you have an unclean spirit in your house? Do you have an unclean spirit in your heart? The way to get it out is to turn and walk away from it. By the power of your choice. You say, well, I've tried that before. I tried it for 2 hours and it didn't work. Listen, friend, I'm talking about a power of choice that says I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm praying that God will deliver me from cigarettes. And I said, listen, sister, God's already done it on Calvary. What you need to do is take them out of your pocket and throw them away and never go back and buy another one. And all I got was a deer in the headlight looks. But I go back again and buy him again and get involved in that bondage again. Pastor, I'm praying God will deliver me from alcohol. All right, go home and dump it all down the toilet today. And throw the cans away and make a covenant with you and God. I'm never going back to the liquor store and buy another one again the rest of my life. And I said, you know what will happen? The Spirit of God will get involved in your life and miracles will begin to take place and you'll find more power than you've ever had before. You say, well, Pastor, how does that work? I'll tell you how it works. You open the door and you kick it out. Praise the Lord. And when you open the door and you kick it out, guess who comes in to fill up that space? God comes in. And the more you kick out, the more God comes in. And the more you kick out, the more God comes in. And the more you kick out, the more God comes in. Until the miracle hand of God, the salvation of God, comes into your life. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And I can just picture these parents. Well, let's go back here. When the unclean spirit has gone out, he walketh in dry places seeking rest and finds none. And he says, I'm going back to that place that I remember. I'm going back to that house. And the Bible says he found it empty, swept, and garnished. Unfortunately, this person did not fill their house up with God. They filled it up with religious things, because really the Lord was rebuking the Pharisees here, the religious people. They kicked out the world, but they never let God in. That's a dangerous place to not let God in. If you're going to repent and you're going to start with God, don't just kick everything out, God included. Because he came back and he found it empty, swept, and garnished. And the Bible says that he got seven of his buddies, and he brought them back in. And the Bible said the latter state of that house was worse than the first. I'm simply trying to illustrate to you this morning that the power of choice is yours. You can have the victory if you'll make up your mind to serve the Lord. Oh, praise God. If you will open the door and say, Lord, would you come in today? The Lord will come in. Amen. But you've got to be willing to get some things out of your house. I can see these parents with the Christ child, the only begotten Son of God. Amen. The Father, who was the Holy Ghost. Amen. The eternal Spirit of God. God is a spirit. And so, really, this child that was in this little girl was God's only conceived son. And they're going from door to door. You have any room? Oh. Would you have any room for us? Oh. Hello? We're kind of in a bad situation. Have you got any room for us? No room. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And finally, they knocked on a door, and they saw the compassion of the person at the door, and as they looked at this little girl that was about to have this child and looked at the worried look on the young man's face, and they said, you know, we just can't let you go on by. This is a situation that we have to intervene in. We don't have much. We don't have much, and we apologize. I really believe that's how they felt about it. We apologize. The only thing we've got is a shed out back. And in his fear and his desperation, Joseph said, we'll take it. Well, honey, did they have room? Yes, sweetheart, they had room, but I'm sorry to tell you, we're going to have to go back to the barn and spend the night. The barn? Yes, to the barn. But they let us in, honey. They let us in. We've got a place. We've got a starting point here. We're starting a family. And I know it's not much, but it's something. And we've got a place here. And they've opened the door. And we're going to take it because there's no other place that's open. Oh, God, help us. Before that night was over, there were shepherds and all of their animals around them. Before that night was over, there were wise men that had come from the east, and they were laying gold and frankincense and myrrh at the feet of this newborn king. Before the night was over, heaven had brought a star down, and it rested upon the scene. Oh, we have our little manger scenes, but friend, nobody could understand. Nobody could understand the feeling in the heart of that young couple as somebody opened a door, and now I've got a foothold. Now I've got a place where I can work a miracle. Now I can open up heaven's door, and I can begin to bless with gold and frankincense and myrrh. I can bless with shepherds that have come to worship. I can open up the scene here, and now there's not even enough room to accommodate everybody. Are you getting the picture here this morning? And all it took, very, very simple this morning, all it took was for a door to be opened and for someone to say, I don't have much, but what I have, you can have it. Well, praise the Lord. Oh God, help us here this morning. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you believe that this morning? In fact, the Bible says that if we are a friend of the world, that we are the enemy of God. That's how opposed the world is to God. It's very important this morning, folks, that we make up our mind to open the door to God. I wonder if we were to take the time this week and write down the amount of time that you're on the internet versus how much time you're in Bible reading. And I know I can hear it right now, but Pastor, I have to have the internet for my work. I'm not including that. I'm talking about personal time, entertainment time, doing this or doing that. Amen. It might open our eyes to see why we don't feel so close to the Lord. Amen. How much worldly music we listen to as opposed to godly music. Somebody help me here this morning. How much of a busy life we have. How much time we spend for us as opposed to spending time in prayer and seeking God and saying, God, I've got room for you. Would you please come in? Would you please come in? You're more important to me than anything. Amen. How many worldly thoughts do we think versus how much worship do we give the Lord on a daily basis? And in his word and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Praise God. I want to tell you, it just takes a little bit for God to begin a major transformation in your life. They found a little space. Amen. A small feeding trough. Wasn't much, but it was a little bit of room, a little bit of wiggle room. Amen. And he was born there. Amen. Thomas, one of the disciples of the Lord, the Bible says, and I'll read it for you here this morning. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He shut the door. But he left a little crack open and said, if he'll let me see this, I'll open the door. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that really he was so much doubting Thomas. I think all of them were doubting because the Bible said they did. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, first thing he said, he didn't say, hi, Peter, James, John. No, he went to the one that was a little bit skeptical, and maybe somebody's skeptical here this morning. He came to one that was skeptical, and he said, Thomas, come here. I want you to look at my hands, and I want you to put your finger in the holes of the hands. Thomas, here. And he lifted up his shirt or opened his garment, and he said, put your hand in my side. And do not be faithless, but believing. And that little crack in the door, it's almost like a salesman puts his big toe in the door. Thomas didn't have to have anybody to roughhouse his way into that door. He threw the door wide open, and he fell down on his face, and he said, my Lord and my God. And God blessed Thomas that day. But there was another one. There was another one, and his name was Judas. You know the story about him. He saw the same miracles that Thomas saw. He heard the same words that Peter, James, and John heard. He saw all of the miracles that they saw. He was with the Lord, and he was a trusted man as the treasurer. And the Bible says here in John 13:26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. There would have been no way that Satan could have entered into Judas had Judas not opened the door. But how did Judas open the door? The Bible said he was a thief. He carried the bag and he was a thief. And so because he carried the bag, he thought, hey, they just gave a $20 offering and nobody will know if I slip it in my other pocket. And so he slipped a little bit in the other pocket, and nobody knew. And he walked with the Lord, and he said, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That was a wonderful message, Jesus. And then as the offerings came in, a little bit was siphoned, and a little bit was put in another pocket. And before you know it, he was known as a thief. He was known as someone who was crooked. But what was Judas really doing? Little by little, he was opening the door to Satan. Until all of a sudden the door was big enough and Satan stepped in. I'm here now, and I'm going to make you do something you will regret for eternity. And the scriptures prophesied about Judas and said, let his generations after him be desolate. And it talks about the judgment on Judas, brother. It makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck if you've got any sensitivities whatsoever. But he did it anyway. He did it anyway because he opened a door and he let Satan in little by little until Satan himself stepped into his life. You know what the Lord's looking for this morning? He's looking for a life of vacancy. Praise God. He's looking for somebody this morning who will recognize their power of choice. It's not somebody else that's going to make you live for God. It's not somebody else that's going to make you lose out with God. But it's all this morning on your decision of what you're going to do with this great God, with his great power, with his great love. It's what are you going to do with it? And I'll guarantee you this morning, if you'll open up the door, if you'll hang out a vacancy sign today, you may not be the best inn in the place. You may not be the most fanciest room in the house, but it doesn't matter if it's an old stable and it's got a lot of dirt and a lot of smells and a lot of sights that are not real, real nice for a Savior. He'll take you at your word. and he'll come in and he'll begin to transform that old stable into a house of worship, into a place of miracles, into a place where God Almighty will come and bring salvation and deliverance and all of the good things that heaven has. Let's stand together this morning. Let's stand together. Let's pray together, church. Come on, let's pray right now. We need God to help us. Somebody open the door for God this morning. Let's make him feel comfortable and welcome here. Lord, I bless you right now. I praise you right now, Jesus. I thank you right now, God, for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, right now, let the Word of God find its mark in somebody's heart. Let it go right straight to the mark. Help us this morning to see that the world is only going to destroy us. The world is against you. But Lord, you stand alone, beckoning this morning, saying, is there anyone that has a place for me? I'm not going to force myself upon you. I'm not going to bully my way into the world. If the only place I can come is a little manger, I'm happy to start right there. If the only little girl that will have me is a little peasant girl, I'll go to a little peasant girl to work out my plan. Oh God, help us this morning. The devil's lied to somebody here today, and he's told you that you're not worthy to live for God. I'm going to say it again. The devil has said that because God doesn't say those things. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what you've been through today. What does matter is, are you willing to open the door to God? Are you willing? Are you ready to say, Lord, just whatever you want to do, just use me. Take me and mold me and make me into your image. Help me today, Lord, in my weakness, come in. I'm opening the door to you, Lord, and I'm closing the door on the world. And I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do the will of God. Is there anybody here this morning that feels that way? Why don't you just slip?